Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 15, An Angel Delivers Peter from Prison. This chapter is based on Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 23. About that time Herod the king laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. Herod Agrippa, who ruled under Claudius the Roman emperor, professed to be a convert to the Jewish faith. Wanting to gain the favor of the Jews and hoping that this would protect his position and honors, he proceeded to persecute the Church of Christ. He threw James, the brother of John, into prison and sent an executioner to kill him. When he saw that this greatly pleased the Jews, he imprisoned Peter also. The death of James brought the believers great distress. When Peter was also imprisoned, the entire church fasted and prayed. The Jews praised Herod's act in putting James to death, though some held that a public execution would have more thoroughly intimidated the believers. So Herod meant to gratify the Jews even more by making a public spectacle of Peter's death, but not in front of all the people then assembled in Jerusalem. He was afraid that the sight of Peter being led out to die might excite the pity of the crowds. The priests and elders were also afraid that Peter might make one of those powerful appeals to study the life and character of Jesus, appeals that they had been unable to counter. Peter's zeal had led many to take their stand for the gospel, and the rulers feared that if he were given an opportunity to defend his faith, the crowds who had come to the city to worship would demand his release. While Peter's execution was being delayed on various pretexts until after Passover, the church had time for heart-searching. They prayed for Peter without stopping, for they felt that the work of Christ could not afford to lose him. Meanwhile, worshippers from every nation came to the temple, a glittering vision of beauty and grandeur. But Jehovah was no longer to be found in that lovely place. When Christ looked on the interior of the temple for the last time, he said, "See, your house is left to you desolate." Matthew chapter 23, verse 38, New Revised Standard Version. God had withdrawn his presence forever. God answers the constant prayers of his people. Herod finally set the day of Peter's execution, but the prayers of the believers still went up to heaven. Angels were watching over the imprisoned apostle. To prevent any possibility of escape, Peter had been put under the charge of 16 soldiers who guarded him day and night. In a rock-hewn cell, he was placed between two soldiers and bound by two chains, each fastened to one of the soldiers. He was unable to move without their knowledge. With the prison doors fastened and a guard stationed at them, there was no chance of rescue or escape. But man's extremity is God's opportunity. The bolts and bars and the Roman guard would only make God's triumph complete when he delivered Peter. Herod lifting his hand against omnipotence was to be utterly defeated. The last night before the execution, God sent a mighty angel from heaven. The strong gates opened without the aid of human hands. The angel passed through, and the gates closed noiselessly behind him. He entered the cell, and there lay Peter, sleeping the peaceful sleep of perfect trust. Not until the apostle felt the touch of the angel's hand and heard a voice saying, "Get up quickly," did he wake up enough to see his cell illuminated by an angel of glory standing before him. Mechanically he obeyed, and when he got up he lifted his hands, dimly conscious that the chains had fallen from his wrists. Again the voice told him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." Peter mechanically obeyed, believing that he was dreaming. Once more the angel commanded, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." He moved toward the door. The usually talkative Peter was now speechless from amazement. They stepped over the guard. All by itself, the heavily bolted door swung open and closed again immediately, while the guards were motionless at their post. The second door opened like the first, with no creaking of hinges or rattling of bolts. They passed through, and it closed again just as silently. In the same way, they passed through the third gate and found themselves in the open street. Neither one spoke a word. The angel went on in front, encircled by dazzling brightness, and Peter followed, still believing that he was dreaming. They passed through one street, and then the angel disappeared, his mission accomplished. Peter finally realizes he is free. Peter found himself in deep darkness, but as his eyes gradually became accustomed to it, it seemed to lessen, and he discovered that he was alone in the silent street, the cool night air blowing on his face. He was free, in a familiar part of the city. He recognized the place as one where he had often been and had expected to pass by in the morning for the last time. He remembered falling asleep, chained between two soldiers, with his sandals and outer garments removed. He looked at himself and found that he was fully dressed. His swollen wrists were free from the restraints. He realized that his freedom was no dream or vision, but a reality. An angel had delivered him from prison and death. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod." The apostle made his way quickly to the house where, at that moment, his fellow Christians were praying earnestly for him. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hand to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And Peter left and went to another place. God had heard their prayers and delivered him from the hands of Herod. In the morning, a large gathering of people assembled to witness the apostles' execution. Herod sent officers to the prison for Peter to bring him with a great display of arms, not only to be sure he did not escape, but to intimidate all who sympathized with him. When the keepers found that Peter had escaped, they were terrified. They had been clearly warned that their lives would be required for the life of their prisoner, and they had been especially vigilant. When the officers came for Peter at the prison, the bolts and bars were still fastened, the chains were still secured to the wrists of the two soldiers, but the prisoner was gone. When the report of Peter's escape came to Herod, he was enraged. He ordered the prison guard to be put to death. Herod was determined not to acknowledge that divine power had overruled his plans, and he set himself boldly to defy God. Not long after this, Herod went to a great festival in Caesarea, designed to gain the praise of the people. There was much feasting and wine drinking. With pomp and ceremony, he addressed the people in an eloquent oration, dressed in a robe sparkling with silver and gold, which caught the rays of the sun in its glittering folds. He was a stunning sight. The majesty of his appearance and the force of his well-chosen language swayed the crowd. Wild with enthusiasm, they showered flattery on him, declaring that no mortal could look as great as that or speak with such eloquence. They declared that from then on they would worship him as a god. Some whose voices were now glorifying a vile sinner had a few years before raised the frenzied cry, "Away with Jesus! Crucify him!" Under his humble exterior, the Jews could not recognize the Lord of life and glory, but they were ready to worship as a god the king whose splendid garments of silver and gold covered a corrupt, cruel heart. King Herod struck down by an angel. Herod accepted the idolatry of the people as his right. A glow of gratified pride spread over his face as he heard the shout, "The voice of a god and not of a mortal." But suddenly his face became pale as death and twisted with agony. Great drops of sweat came from his pores. For a moment he stood motionless with pain and terror. Then, turning his purple face to his horror-stricken friends, he cried out in hollow tones, "He whom you have exalted as a god is stricken with death." Suffering excruciating anguish, he was carried from the festive scene. A moment before, he had proudly received the worship of that vast crowd. Now he realized he was in the hands of a ruler who was mightier than himself. He remembered his persecution of Christ's followers, his command to execute James, his plan to put the apostle Peter to death. He remembered how, in humiliation and rage, he had taken revenge on the prison guards. He felt that God was now dealing with him. He felt no relief from the pain of body or anguish of mind, and he expected none. Herod knew that in accepting the worship of the people, he had filled up his cup of iniquity. The same angel who had come to rescue Peter was the messenger of judgment to Herod, laying his pride in the dust and bringing the punishment of the Almighty on him. Herod died in great agony of mind and body. The news that the apostle of Christ had been delivered from prison and death, while his persecutor had been struck down by the curse of God, went to all lands, leading many to believe in Christ. What angels are doing today? As in the days of the apostles, heavenly messengers today are working to comfort the sorrowing, protect the unrepentant, and win hearts to Christ. Angels are constantly carrying the prayers of the needy and distressed to the Father above and bringing hope and courage to human hearts. These angels create a heavenly atmosphere around us, lifting us toward the unseen and the eternal. Only by spiritual vision can we recognize heavenly things. Only the spiritual ear can hear the harmony of heavenly voices. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Psalm 34, verse 7. God commissions angels to guard his chosen ones from the pestilence that walks in darkness and the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Psalm 91, verse 6. Angels have talked with human beings as someone might speak with a friend and have led them to places of safety. Again and again, the encouraging words of angels have renewed the drooping spirits of the faithful. Angels work tirelessly to help those for whom Christ died. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Angels carry to heaven a report of every effort to dispel darkness and spread the knowledge of Christ. The powers of heaven are watching the warfare that God's servants are carrying on. All the heavenly angels are at the service of the humble, believing people of God. Remember that every true child of God has the cooperation of heavenly beings. Invisible armies surround the meek and lowly ones who believe and claim the promises of God. Angels that excel in strength stand at God's right hand, all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14.